daddy was working on the mill pond for a dollar a day. And other than that, he had to work part-time and let someone else work part-time so everybody would have a chance to get a little time in to receive some money for commodities. And during the time he would be off, he would make a victory garden. We had a big garden and whatnot. And so other than that, during that time, I was going to school from 28 to 1937, and my teachers was Professor Hurdle and Mrs. Hurdle and Mrs. Bird. I had a job after school working for Miss Rudland as a houseboy doing chores such as what I was able to do at the present time. They would contribute to contribute some money to help me to buy school clothes. And later on, as I came older, I worked around the store for Chester Willis as a delivery boy driving the delivery wagon. During that time, and it was making about $30 a month delivering, and at the Southern Pine Lumber Company store, they had, during that time, wasn't paying much, but we were doing the best we could what we had. At that time, they had the store, they had the drugstore, post office, and the market, and the people that run these things in the store, Mr. Drew, Jimmy Fuller, was in the grocery department, and Mr. Hine and Mr. A.G. was in the drugstore department, Mr. Cruthwaite was in the meat department. Mrs. Zeta Kelly was in the post office, and she had been there for a long time. And Chester Willis was always picked the mail up from the train station and carried back to the post office. And that was back in 1930, back in the 30s. In 1932, I was working over there with my brother, you know, and so I was pretty good size then. Then after I was the store, I left the store and went to the sawmill, worked around there a while, and during that, it wasn't paying, I think it was about $2 a day, a dollar and a half a day or something like that. And whatever it was enough to survive on. You couldn't. Didn't have no other choice but that. And I sure was pretty good at times. And well, we had ups and downs regardless to what. And so, daily wedges around then wasn't too much. So other than that, we lived. The condition was like in the black section and the white section was on one part of the town, and we was on the other side of the town. And where I stayed, they had what was called a pipeline. And we had two bedrooms and no hot running water, a faucet outside, you drew the water, and then you had heaters, no refrigerators or nothing like that. Ice boxes and ice men come around sometime. And so other than that, the living condition was part of the town, different sections. And we didn't have no paved roads, all dirt roads and whatnot. And when it rained, water would be standing in the roads was bad, and you started to get stuck in a car and walking. You had to have boots. You didn't have no other choice than raincoats. You get your wood in and put the pine wood up under the house, keep it dry so you'd be able to start a fire. Get up early, and then during the day, the mill would be running, making a lot of noise and whatnot, and had a whistle called 11:15, and they would blow it. About 11:15, siren. I say that's for people, the husband be coming home to get the bread in the stove. Boy, that was back in 1932, all the way down until 1940. And at that time, well, we had a man drove the wood wagon, name was Winston Brown from Mr. Green. Mr. Green was the sheriff around there. And Southern Pine didn't have too many trucks there. They had stuff on contract, like to Mr. Paul Hole, the Hall of Lumber of the East, back in the Kilgo, and Bryce Vaughn, them had a big trucks. They hauled lumber for the company down to Houston and back to different places like that. And then about 1936, they paid a bonus. A lot of the blacks got a little bonus, and they all bought cars there. Bonus was from World War I. So that's why how they came by the money. Other than that, some of them were still working around there. Across from the store, they had a hotel called the Star Hotel. Mr. Lester's mother was running it. And used to have the cat grocers over there every day. And Mr. Lester's had a filling station on Highway 59, just as you're going out going toward Lufkin. And I think the filling station was the Ummel for a while, then they changed to Sinclair. Yeah, the fella in there was helping him named Benny Rector. And then later on they built up toward the Highway 59, they built a big hotel called the Antlers. I think that's what it was, and they built that, and then they come into building some more new houses across 59, and they brought in the Helm factory up around by the temple freight train station, and they had their own line and whatnot, and I think one of the guys was the foreman over was named Edward Nelson during that time, and they were making hounds, and they hired a few people right after that. Well, the war broke out, a lot of them hired a lot of people down to the box factory. They had a box factory was making crates and stuff. And being there, and women behind a lot of them. They had their little mill down there, and this was right during the war started. The war broke out. And, well, I didn't leave there until 1943. I was drafted to go into the Marine Corps then. So I hope you can get some benefit out of this, and I think I said I had graduated to the ninth grade, and sanitary deal, I think I brought told you about that, the opportunity to learn in simple, they would hire kids sometime during, like school's out to cut weeds in different areas like that, and you wouldn't have no unions, nothing like that, and you work for so much a day. Work and life and die, but all working and life was always pretty hard during back in them days, but later on, I think after I left, it brought in a lot of more people. And they had a place called Faster. They brought those people there, and they had another that brought in and built some more houses, and they called that Red Town. So some of them was telling me they didn't have no street numbers or nothing. The only thing went by the numbers on the houses and by the people's names. That's where you could find people that didn't have no kind of communication. I think they had a phone at some places, so in case of fire, you could dial. It was just for fire only. And, so that's all I can think of right now. I'm not sure it was all together, but do the best I can, and I appreciate you people sending me this correspondence. And so I just make the history of Diabol 100 years, and thank you for all three. I hope that's it. And they had the colored section of the town, and they had the white section of the town. They had the school for the white and the school for the color. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for recreation, they would have the white to visit the color school and play ball, or else we could play ball, and they had church few. Places we went for recreation. Yeah, I played ball for a while. And then we used to go fishing for recreation and play basketball, play a different game from different school, like Lufkin, a place called Nigden, all back in there during that time. And it was pretty good, some of it. And then they had the 19th of June. And they would contribute, the company would contribute so much to the people. For the 19th of June, everybody be off. They have big parties and dancing and contests and doing all that and whatnot at that time. That was back in the 1939 on up to, I guess, 43 after I left. So I hope you can get something out of this, because that's been a pretty good while. And so, and they had Mrs. Finkton, the lady on the lady side in the store. Jimmy Fuller had furniture upstairs, and they had, let's see, I'm trying to think now, and I think the train run through there twice a day, the passenger train, and run twice tonight, mm-hmm. going to Houston to Sweetport.
Yeah.
And they had other recreation. High school had, during school, turned out and whatnot, and they had participation in different games and whatnot during back then. Mm-hmm. It was pretty hard, but we made the best we could. So I hope you get able to get some.
What age you
were? Well, I was telling my age. Huh? Did I tell my age on there? Well, I was around 9 or 10. I think somewhere around 9 or 10. Yeah, from 1928. I think I was 9 or 10, one of them. And work around the store and just know a lot of people. And they used to have little rodeos during back in some days then. What? So other than that, we used to go to Lufkin. We used to go to Lufkin to had the county fair. Had the county fair in Lufkin. They had special days for blacks to go, but you could go anytime. But they had one day was put aside for nothing but blacks, and to Lufkin. So other than that, I hope you get something out of this. Yeah, I was caught back there a couple of times in a big tornado. It blowed, coming, blowed lumber all over the place, blowed the smokestacks down. And then they had a big snow back in 1932. And that ground turned hard as concrete. And you're talking about it was rough. It was rough there, trying to keep warm. Wind was blowing. It did a lot of damage.
back in them days. And then later on, the NRA came out, and the people went to work at 8 hours a day then, fixing a little bit better sanitary places for people, and building roads, and helping them. And then the Depression, back in 1930 or 29, they had the Red Cross that was giving out flour, giving out food and stuff, and some of it was canned goods, didn't have no label on it, you didn't know what you was getting was in the cans. And during that time, it was really rough. But then they had a little Jewish peace place there on the backside of from the big Methodist church. I think Mr. Johnson was the judge. And on Saturday they would have a lot of people coming in with wagon, buggies, horses, and things going to court. And that was really something to see then. And then they had Mr. Smith had the pressing shop. The only pressing shop was there, and he had a couple of fellas working in there was black. I think one of them was T.L., another one was named Happy. Another boy, I think, named Clyde. And just as the war broke out, well, they was singling, and they picked him up, and that left him one fella, I think an eligible fella was working there during that time. So, oh, you had to have a little old calaboose when you act up. They would put you in that and let you stay there overnight and then pick you up from there and then carry the Lufkin to the big jail. And for money, they used to have like, deal look like a milk top. They had blue, white, green. I think the white was a dollar, the blue was 5 cents, the yellow was 10 cents, and the red was 25 cents. And that was your money to spend at dive bar. Some other store's outlet would take it, and then they would cash it in for a little money. And some people's, and they would pay every 2 weeks in cash. But very few people made it for every 2 weeks in cash. They had a place in the store. You fill, go to the store, and the man fill it out for you like what you want. Then you carry it over to the timekeeper, Mr. Nelson, and he okay it. And then that's when you would get your commodities. Other than that, you didn't have enough time or no money, you didn't get nothing. Sometimes some of them would see Mr. Rutherford and talk to him, and then he'd tell them, go ahead, let that boy have so-and-so. So he'll pay. So he just hit it hard right now at the present time. And I've seen Mr. Rutherford give people clothes out of the store, because he was the superintendent of all the stores, Pineland, Fastbread, and Hemp Hill. I used to drive for him back in those places. And he had a daughter named Josephine. She was a school teacher. Well, this is the history. This is the history of dive bars. To my knowledge, a lot of places and whatnot. Seen they had CC roads and brought in a lot of CC camp people that are building roads out in the country and going out different places. See, and they brought in the NRA. To make so people work get work 8 hours instead of working them long hours from sun up to sun down. See, then that made a big change right there.
Y'all going to die though?
I don't know. Rutherford lived right across the street in that big place that where y'all got the office. That was his house, that where he stayed during that time. Mr. Oham, Strouds, Derms, Clyde Thompson, a lot of big shots. Mr. Clyde Thompson was over the woods. Another fellow they called Mr. McKinley. I think he was a wood farmer too. He had a lot of cows and stuff. He was whatnot. And they had Dr. Dale, Dr. Clement. Oh, so many of them I could think of. Names and whatnot. And had Mrs. Rodifay, I think she was the secretary, and old man Wise was over the housings, worked in the office. And Mr. Richardson had a daughter, I think her name was Miss Mildred Richardson. brought some company in there to build a water tank. They built a new water tank there. Brought a lot of people in there to build a water tank, like during them days. Had to build for the train, their own train. So I think I'll just sign off. When Mr. Temple moved out, he brought a woman there named Christine, and she built a house for her. And then the big house down there going towards Corn Farm, Highway 59, that big house, they brought her there. She was supposed to have been a cook for Mr. Temple. And she come there, I think she died down there. Was the bookkeeper, he had three sons, Junior Nelson, had one daughter named, well, I don't know what her name, I can't think of her name, but I know he had Edward Nelson, Junior Nelson, and Kenneth Nelson. I think during the time, then they brought, I was supposed to keep the peace. Mr. Porter run this. Another guy named Rat Johnson. He used to come all the, buy all the material, what they need. Temple Lumber Company Railroad. If all this don't do, well, you can call me at San Bernardino. My phone number is 888-4795. My name is Paul Fred, 612 Muscat. And I'll be glad to give you some more information. Maybe you can have a recorder to record it as I talk. You can ask me questions. We can deal with bring my memory back around to me. And I would appreciate it if I could be any help to you for this history, historic type of record. Thank you. Oh, yeah, by the way, we used to play Corrigan. We used to go down to Chester. Basketball. And we used to play woodwork. And during the baseball season, we play like Coots, Lusky, Morgan, and the team out of Broken, like around Henderson and Longview, we used to go up to the colored big days to have anything like Cam Calloway, Ryan Hampton, and Ella Fitzgerald, places like that. We'd get a car, because it took us so much money to go to those days to get there. Also, Nacogdoches, Wells and Alto, sometimes Jacksonville. The black team come out of Houston called the Grand Prize. It's come up there and play the adults ball. It was all black out of Houston. Sometimes the blacks would get a school bus and they would go down there and play down in Houston. Pine Lane, like that. And had a team come out of Faster sometimes and come over there. Now they're young boy, like that, and play ball. We have a good time. We have a dance after the ball game at night. Also, we used to go to Cameron, Texas. They had a big salt mill out there. We'd go out there and play there and play ball. And they'd come out and play ball with us. Sometimes they invite us. They 19 junior, we invite some of them to our 19 junior. We had a pretty good time. No favor. Hard living, really. Yeah, that back around in 39, 38 or 40, just when the war broke out. So, yeah, that's pretty good life at the time, such as it was at the present time. So, we used to go to Lufkin to see the Panthers. Football in the wintertime up Lufkin. A few hot spots in Lufkin we used to go to dances,
Presbyterian up there on Celtic Street. And another street, and I forget Chestnut, and big color theater there. I used to go out there at 11 o'clock on Friday nights. See all such shows. Cab Calloway, Ryan Hampton, movies. Then after hours, come back in and enjoy some dive bars, still open, meet the crowd, sell them hot dogs and hot licks, sell them hamburgers and chili. You can get a bowl of chili back then, back in the 30s, about 15 cents or 10 cents. Knee high. Company, you get a bottle of soda water for about 5 cents or 6 cents. Well, back in them days, you get gasoline for 10 cents a gallon, some 8 cents a gallon. They had three types of gas. One was the white gas called Blue Goose. Accessibility had a truck. Old man Ben Bivens, he had a Model A. Once in Brown, he had a second. Studebaker, Chrysler. Few color had cars, but not too many. It was the term type, which had put up the stone curtains. Some had T-Mars, some had 36 Folds, some had Nash, Essex, Spire on the back, and beer such as that. And Cora Nash, she used to cook at Star Hotel, Miss Esther. And Miss Mary Collins cooked for Miss Rutland, a lady named Bertha. Back in them days, I had to get up around about 4 o'clock, go and make a fire in the stove for Mr. Rutland and them, make one for the cook in the stove, and have the fire burning when they get up. And then from there, I walked back across town to school.